We are talking about the renewed covenant, and now we'll go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 9. The first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks, diverse washings and carnal ordinances, imposed on them until the time of reformation. But the Messiah being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, and made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the separated place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We've been talking about the added law here previously in this covenant file, where Yahweh says, I will put my covenant and my laws in your heart. As you hear this broadcast and as you read it, you might think that we're leaving the subject of the new covenant. We hope you'll be satisfied. Please stay with us. We agree and ask the pure spirit to write his instructions on our hearts. Jeremiah 31:31. Please read the verses before and after 31:31. I will put my law in their inward parts. I will put my Torah in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their father, and they shall be my people. So he's going to put his law into our hearts where we will forget his law. No, he didn't say that. That's what is assumed, though, and even had been taught in Protestant churches, that we are in the presence of a pastor who would teach that Messiah wrote his laws, or the Father, even worse, because it wasn't the Father, it was the Messiah, it was the Son, wrote his commandments and wants to write his commandments in our hearts. And then they think that then they're just put away where we'll never think about them again. But actually, he puts them in our hearts so that we will keep his covenant. Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of the northern tribes, in the King James, Israel. After those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my laws, or my Torah, same thing, into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them their leader, their master, it says G-O-D in the King James, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for all that know him, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. You know, I will be merciful, and continue reading on there at Hebrews 8, and that he saith, A new covenant he hath made thee first old, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And it sounds there to the Protestant mind, if we're just picking up for the first time or the first couple of years, that he's just going to do away with all the Ten Commandments and write some new, easier ones that'll be more brief, more concise, and that we don't have to do away, that we don't have to think about the particulars of the Ten Commandments, the statutes and the judgments, but that would be far from the truth. That would be far from his standard of righteousness, that we need to keep his law. And it was only by the Roman Church, by recent modern leaders in Protestantism, that we had the wrong idea, that we are supposed to break his law, or at least break the Sabbath and break the feast days and the clean and unclean, but we could keep all the other laws, those safe laws. That was a improper conception. That was a misconception about what Yahweh had really intended for us in the first place. In fact, Yahweh did not come along and give us the commandments, try to give us the commandments, and then it didn't work out. So he changed his mind and thought he'd try a different way by sending Messiah to the tree, to the torture stake for us, and then be offered for us in our stead, and then just sort of give us a pseudo-righteousness so that we would be saved eternally without having to change our behavior. I know that was a mouthful that I off the top of my head from the Spirit there, but that was a misconception there once again, that Messiah replaced the commandments in our lives so that we don't have to keep them, that he kept them in our stead, or some fallacious idea like that. And that was wrong. He wants us to walk in his statutes and his judgments and his testimonies, his commandments, or, you know, he would be a liar. Paul would be a liar. Paul kept the feast days. In the book of Acts, we see that. He kept the Sabbath throughout the earlier scriptures. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, Psalm 119, and Isaiah chapter 66, Zechariah 14, there we see that the feasts will be kept in the future. We know that they were kept in the past by Yahweh's chosen people, so they're kept in the future by his chosen. What is wrong with this particular dispensation, this intermediate dispensation? We're not supposed to keep them now because it's no longer part of his standard. Well, that's very, very, very broken logic. That's completely contrary to what Yahweh wants us to understand about our behavior here on earth and in New Jerusalem and the heavens to come. I will put my laws into their hearts and their minds, praise Yahweh. I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So he's going to, by the Savior, not by our works, but by the Savior, Messiah, Yahweh Hosha, commonly called Jesus in the King James, that he's going to wash away all of our sins by the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb is Messiah, commonly called Jesus, as I say. His real name is Yahweh Hosha. And his Father's name is in him. Yahweh is the Father. Commonly, the Tetragrammaton is referred to. YHWH is the name of our Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father's name is in the Son. And I've taken a roundabout way around the camp here to talk about the Torah. In this Torah are the instructions for the building of his tabernacle. I think he's building a tabernacle in us, don't you think? Sure. This is the tabernacle of Messiah. And our Messiah, Yahweh Hosha, becomes Yahweh in you as you become saved by his unmerited favor, immersed in his separated spirit, filled with his love, cleansed by his blood, and are eventually given resurrection power. You can't walk through walls yet. We're not just spirit being. We still have the old physical flesh that will die when, you know, we get around to 70, 80, 100 years old, maybe even earlier. So we are not with the full resurrection power yet, obviously. If we can't walk through a wall, you might get partly through it. You won't get all the way through it. Yahweh's Torah is part of his word, mainly found in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Exodus through Deuteronomy. And also Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6. And then fully throughout through the Revelation, the book of the Revelation by John or Yochanan. Therefore, part of our agreement, part of our covenant with him, with our Messiah, who wants to write his word in our heart, part of it is obedience to his word. Obedient to what? Well, obedient to everything from Genesis to Revelation. And somebody would say, all right, Stefan, yeah, are we supposed to hang ourselves like Judas did? Well, such thinking, isn't it? You know, that we are to do such a fallacious thing. No, we are not to go and do that. That wasn't a command. It wasn't a command to stand on our heads or stand on our left ear and moan some strange incantations. That was never a command. Yahweh, help us. You know, the commands that we are supposed to obey are found mainly, as I said, in Exodus through Deuteronomy and also, you know, throughout the Word, and especially Matthew chapter 5, where Matthew clarified. He magnified the law and made it honorable there in Matthew 5. Matthew 6, and that's the Sermon on the Mount, I was going to say. how much of our lives do we want to give him? How much time? As we keep the Sabbath and the Sabbath days, we'll be giving him, I think I figured out, around a seventh of our time, not just a tenth, but whatever it is, we need to give it all to him, but especially what he asks for. we want to go on beyond that, okay, we can give him more than a tenth or a twentieth of our time and our finances. We can give him 100% if we still, you know, still surviving here, still have the shelter, food, and clothing. And that demonstrates whether or not we love Yahweh if we're obeying his commandments, according to 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John tells us what love is right there. 1 John 5:2, that we keep his commandments and they are not burdensome. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his Torah, his ordinances, his commandments. When we love the Father, for this is the love of the Father, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Oh, what a wonderful thing to find there in Scripture was 1 John 5. And we'll move along now in this study. And the word grievous, by the way, in that 1 John, is Greek word number 926, grievous, from the same as 922, weighty, that is, figuratively, burdensome. So his commandments are not burdensome. They're not grave, grievous, heavy, or weightier. And keeping his commandments is 1785, the Greek word for commandments. Injunction, that is, an authoritative prescription. Commandment, precept. And then in parenthesis, teaching or Torah in the original. We are grafted into the great Hebraic olive tree, into the great messianic, our Messiah, grafts us into his olive tree when we love him, when we fully obey him, when we are immersed by the Spirit with him, and go down into those waters and come back up knowing him even greater and say, Yahweh, I thank you. You know, I obeyed. It wasn't any great thing. You immersed me in the water in the name of the Most High Yahweh. And then they say, well, are you a Jew? Okay, we'll see Romans 2:28, 2:29. He is a Jew who was circumcised inwardly, not just outwardly, but inwardly by the Spirit. We could do a thorough study of that someday in Romans 2, and especially in the book of Hebrews 9:9, the first tabernacle yet standing, as we read earlier. A figure for the time present, in which were offered gifts and sacrifices that couldn't make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. It stood only in meats and drinks, drink offerings and meat offerings, diverse washings, carnal ordinances imposed on them until Messiah, until the time of Reformation. But Hebrews 9:11, but the Messiah being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls, blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once, in the separated place, not every Sunday morning. No, he entered in once on when he died for us on Aviv or Nisan 14. He arose. He rose from the grave on Aviv 17th day of the first month. Feast days are found mainly in Leviticus 23. And that book partly is written only to Levite priests, but most of it is to us, if you will, to us believers. And this chapter is for all believers or Hebrews. Who is a Hebrew person? Physical Hebrew. This is inclusive a large part of the global population of black people, red people, yellow skin, white skin people. Those are actually physical Hebrew people. Not all of them, but those who descended from the tribes, the rest of them were, most of the pagans were killed off. At least they were supposed to have been. Few Greeks left on the earth. And it would be impossible to trace for most of us. But who is a stranger that is mentioned there in Scripture? Spiritual strangers, spiritual Hebrews. Those who were not physical Hebrews. And they wish to be of Yahweh's people. They agree to the terms of his covenant. Romans 2:28, Romans 11, remember. And may I turn there real quickly for you as we're sailing along here on this chapter about the covenant and the separated things that Yahweh wants us to do. The covenant and All right, yes, we're just moving right along here. You can't tell that I lost my place. Anyway, Romans 2:28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, of Yehuda, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of Yahweh. That doesn't necessarily mean that, it's not the letter only. We don't want to just be tied up in reading the word without the spirit there. So we ask the spirit of Yahweh to please open up our hearts and let his word just, divide us, divide our spirit and come right in and dwell with us with his truth. Let our hearts be pure and desire with all of our intent to want to love him and carry that out for now on earth in obedience. Someday we'll see him face to face. And then he will, call us. We'll hear his actual voice in those days. Right now, the only way for faith is to just read his word. Yahweh doesn't speak to us out of a cloud or out of the wall anymore, or he never did, or out of the fire, as he did to Moses and the children of the promised people there. Yahweh's feast days remain in the New Covenant. They are in the New Covenant, but it seems that Yahweh has no need for the feast days. Well, certainly not, but the issue was the misuse of his feast days, his pure set-apart days. So here is kind of a before and after look, or what did the newsman said, the rest of the story. So we'll start out Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14, where it seems feast-keeping is bad. Then we'll go to the end of Isaiah, go to 66, and find out the rest of the story, the before and after picture here. So Isaiah, which is in the earlier scriptures, and should be right before Ezekiel, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear. No. He sounded like he was not in favor of our keeping the feast days, that we should no longer honor him and praise him in the tabernacle, or the Feast of Tabernacles. Do I have the right understanding? No. Isaiah 66. So the rest of the story is found at the end of that book of Isaiah, 66:22, where it says that feast-keeping is pure. They were for the Old Testament times, they are for the present, and they are for tomorrow. Messiah's pure word is consistent. It's a standard. And it says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, so obviously that's not the earth that we're sitting or standing on right now, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yahweh. So he's going to make that new heaven and new earth. So shall your seed and your name remain. Let me read it again in case I confused you with putting in my comments. For as the new heavens and new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed in your name remain. And, here it comes, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to praise before me, saith the mighty one, Yahweh. So there's those new moons, there are new months from 12, 13 months per year. New moons, that's a day that we take away to just concentrate on Yahweh. And as far as work is concerned on those days, it's controversial. People will tell you one way or another. We try not to do any. We try not to buy anything, but there's no clear command on that. But I wouldn't concentrate. I wouldn't get too obsessed with going out working and shopping and all that, because how can we have our mind on Yahweh at the same time on the Father, the Eternal, if we're out there dropping and shopping? Or is it the other way around? Shopping and dropping. All right, so Isaiah 66, verse 22, the new heavens and the new earth, and from one new moon to another, one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to praise before me. So it sounds like the Sabbath days and the new moon will continue, and that they are a wonderful creation and ordinance from Genesis chapter 1, when Yahweh made the stars and the planets. You know, that they're a wonderful time to look in the future for beholding our Savior and giving Him some more quality time, probably a lot more than we give Him even here on earth on a Sabbath day. Over to Hosea chapter 2, the bad and the good again. Hosea 2:11. Before, and then the after will be after that, 12:9. Before, I will cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. Oh yes, those terrible feast days, just nothing but bondage, going there to sleep and hear the preacher and have some good food and all that. That's all too much bondage. That's what they tell us. I've never been convinced after going to a feast day, but that's what they, on the outside world, that's what they say out there outside the ark. Hosea 12:9. Here's the rest of the story. And I that I am Yahweh thy father from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast. I'm looking forward to that. Also sees Zechariah chapter 14. And Zechariah 8. And at the end of Ezekiel 45. And then Ezekiel 46 and 47. Colossians 2:14. Acts, that's the book of Acts 13:42. About the Sabbath day. Also 16:13. And 17:2. All on the subject of the Sabbath. That Paul was keeping the Sabbath days there. As if he was trying to, what, to confuse people and make them think that he was going to be keeping Saturday, the seventh day, the Sabbath day. And then he would, by some sort of trickery, he would correct that and or move them over to Sunday. He never did that. He never said that that you were wrong by keeping the seventh day of the week. And that we're having to change the day now to the first day. He never said it. I'd like to see that. Somebody would say, oh, 1 Corinthians, when they set aside some food for the gathering so that when they assembled, there would be no more food gathering on the seventh day of the week. They're going to do it on the first day. They're going to go out and get the produce, all the tomatoes and whatever, the drink for the Sabbath, for the next Sabbath. They gather that up on the first day of the week, and then Sabbath day comes. They don't have to have any of those kind of gatherings. They'll just have a time of praise and teaching and singing and sleeping and eating too, I guess. Right? The Roman Catholic Church changed times and laws by their own admission. Daniel 7:25. He shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. He not only thought to wear out the saints, and to think, and he not only thought to change times and laws, but he did it. He changed the day of the month. It's not at the new moon anymore. He changed the new year. It's the Roman New Year is in the dead of winter, when nothing changes at midnight. And he changed the time of day, when the day changes to another day at midnight instead of even to even, as Yahweh originally set out to for us to keep the days and the dates properly there, according to the observance of different phenomena in the skies. And then the objection comes up, well, I only keep and do the four Gospels. But if this were the case, remove all the other books and chapters from your scriptures, and you can just use the few remaining pages. Toss out most of Paul's letters, and Peter, and the Revelation, where in three places it says they will keep the Torah. Toss out the book of Acts, 13, 16, and 17, and many other places there. And the book of Acts talks about the Day of Atonement. So we would have to just rip out different sections. Actually, Matthew 1 through 27 would be officially the Old Covenant, still in the Old Covenant, because it's the New Covenant with Messiah's resurrection. As we understand, it didn't start until Matthew 28. So we have no need for Matthew 1 to 27. And there are many Protestants who would agree with that, and they're wrong. That he wrote those words for our understanding, our knowledge, and our way to walk in the Word. And all of Scripture, not just Matthew 28, not just Matthew 1 through 27, but the entire Scripture. But if their theory were true, you would have only the end of Matthew that you needed to obey in the newer covenant. And the same would be true with the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There isn't any Scripture that commands us to only follow the four Gospels. Matthew 4:4 says, and Deuteronomy 8, for example, it says the same thing that we read earlier, I believe, that a man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of Yahweh's mouth. Every word means line upon line, here a little, there a little. To read all the Scripture and take it into harmony, we see that the Sabbath man is saved by unmerited favor, or the pagan word grace. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by favor, King James, grace, favor are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of Yahweh. So it's a gift, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Yahawahosha Mashiach unto good works, which Yahweh has before ordained that we should walk in them. I was reading from Ephesians 2, for by favor you are saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship created unto good works, which Yahweh has before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're supposed to walk in those works, not just the helping people here and there. How does that go? Something about doing acts of kindness for just anyone without any discrimination whatsoever. Well, first of all, we need to start with Yahweh's people. We need to help them, you know. But even that wouldn't save us if we were to take our entire fortune and donate it to the deserving poor people, those who are truly crippled and can't work, or blind, or deaf and dumb. If we were to give all of our resources and money and time and attention to them, it still wouldn't save us. We could still wind up in the fires of brimstone, fire and brimstone there. Also see Romans 10:9 about being saved there, that we confess with our lives, with our mouth, that Yahweh is our Messiah, that he is the King of our hearts. Look also at Hebrews 9, Hebrews 10, and then Acts 2:38. Here now is Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Yahweh HaMashiach, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the pure Spirit. Acts 2. So there's several things there that we ought to do. We should be immersed. That means into water, not just a little sprinkling. Somebody comes along and sprinkles beer on you, or a little bit of water with a sprinkling wand or something, but that we would actually be immersed all the way in that water. So they say, well, it doesn't really matter how much water is in the baptismal. Excuse me. You know, you can't be immersed without completely going under. I know it's kind of scary for some people to go under for half a second in the water, but I've seen a lot of people, on the other hand, who are very courageous, and they'll go down for the second that it takes for Yahweh to say that we are buried in the watery grave. We're buried to our human nature. We're out of that now. And we have new life in Yahweh. We don't want to have the flesh, the carnal pursuits, desires, and ambitions pulling us down any longer. We want to concentrate on the kingdom. Yeah, I know we get sidetracked and watch DVDs and Paladin, or Have Gun Which Will Travel, or we get, or some airplane show. Robert Conrad, yeah, that used to be my favorite back in the 70s. But we can idolize those programs by being obsessed with so much pleasure. They brought so much pleasure to us through the television, through videos, and through acting, that we get all hung up in that. And whereas contrarily, we're supposed to have a very small amount of time towards pleasure and relaxation. Most of our time should be concentrated on relaxing in the Word, walking in the Spirit. So we know that works are necessary, but that we are not saved by them. And that's demonstrated in the book of James, plus all of Scripture. This necessarily involves walking in Yahweh's way. Works do not save. We can continue to do great works, like tithing to Yahweh, and like singing to Yahweh, you know, singing great choruses and praise and out of the hymnals and off-the-wall songs and psalm songs out of the book of Psalms. Those are wonderful songs that back in the 1960s and 70s, we used to sing from the book of Psalms. Those were beautiful. Used to know a man by the name of Tim Smith, or Toon Smith, in Portland, and he could just really write some great compositions, and it was very inspiring. There's Luke Garrett. Remember Luke? He had Spirit of Yah, or something like that. Come now and breathe your spirit in us. Breathe your spirit in us, O Spirit of Yah. Only he used the G-O-D. The true believer lives by Scripture alone, by what the Word says, not by what the Word does not say. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by, I mean, you got to have that, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Eternal. And so our behavior is set, and our understanding, our doctrines are set by a little here, a little there. Doctrine means teaching. So a little here, a little there is Isaiah 28. Let us live by every word of Yahweh, not by what the Word does not say. Let me repeat that phrase there. Not by what the Word does not say, but why what the Word does say. So, it's freely given to us. His unmerited favor, His Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit that was enliven us and dwell in us forever to keep His commandments and statutes and judgments, that His righteousness is wrought in us. It's called Spirit-wrought righteousness when we are walking His commandments, not by our own power, but by His enablement, by the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh. And all we have to do is, the book of Acts says, just obey Him. Who is the Spirit given to? I think it's Acts 5. If I'm wrong, then we'll have to have you look it up later, okay, when the program is over. But just for those who would enjoy hearing that again and finding out the exact place, like that 4:12. Let me see, Acts 5, if I can find that. 32, verse 32 in Acts 5. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Ruach HaKadosh, whom Yahweh has given to them who disobey Him. No, that obey Him. Obey His laws, statutes, and judgments. And if you back up to that, Peter said, and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey Yahweh rather than men. That was Acts 5. Beautiful. Praise Yahweh. Hallel Yahweh. We will fellowship once again here in this website. Thank you very much.